I remember reading a story at some point a while ago. It was about a mother. She was making soup for her family, and one of her daughters came in and said, "Hey, Mom, could you leave out the onions tonight? I really don't like onions." "Okay." A short while later, one of her sons came in and said, "Oh, hi, Mom. Could you leave out the celery tonight? I don't like celery." "Okay." A few minutes later, her husband came in and said, "Dear, you know, could you leave out the spices tonight? Those peppers, it's too much for me tonight. I had a spicy lunch. Could you leave those out?" "Okay, sure." Then another daughter came in and said, "Oh, hey, Mom, I'm having a friend come over for dinner. Is that okay? Cindy, just coming over for dinner?" "Sure." "Oh, and Cindy doesn't like potatoes. Could you leave potatoes out tonight?" "Sure, sure." So this goes on, you know, as you can imagine. And they're sitting down for the dinner, and they pray over the meal. And then the mother takes the cover off the kettle and starts serving up the soup. And of course, you know, it's water. This story is meant to illustrate that if we pick out the things we don't like, if we choose to lose things, you know, that are inconvenient, we lose something very important. And I would argue that this is exactly the idea that this message is important for us. Who is Jesus? Is he a great prophet? Is he a great teacher? Or is he a crazy man? C.S. Lewis, in his book called Mere Christianity, which I highly recommend if you're a reader, addresses this question: who is Jesus? If we make him out to be anything other than who he says he is, then he is not anyone to be followed. You either accept him fully or you reject him completely. Now, probably for most of us, we accept Jesus' claim that he is fully God and fully man. The fact that he never left behind his divinity when he came to be a human person with us. And it wasn't merely a sort of costume that he put on to hide his divinity, that masked his divinity. He truly is fully God, fully man. I think we can probably grant this in this setting here in church. But when it comes to believing Jesus, there's a lot that's entailed in that. When we begin by trying to live the Catholic faith in the world today around us, or at any other time, we can begin to make selections of what we want to live by. And this is really, a large problem in our day. When we begin picking and choosing what we hold true, when we make our own list of priorities of what it means to follow Jesus, we get all kinds of different images of what it means to be a Catholic or a Christian. And none of these are complete. None of them is fully true. The only way to follow Jesus completely and fully is to live by what Jesus gave us. And to safeguard and protect the truth that Jesus gave us, he instituted a church. And it is the Catholic Church which he set up. And so it is the Catholic Church that has the fullness of truth and the fullness of revelation. Now, that sounds kind of arrogant. It sounds conceited. And it would be if it wasn't truth. No other church makes that claim. All others may say something like, "We can know God and we can follow God," but they won't make a claim to have the fullness of revelation, the fullness of truth. When we begin picking apart the teachings of Jesus, when we pick and choose what we will believe and how we will follow Jesus, we do violence to Christ. We cheapen his sacrifice, and we reject that gift that he gave of himself. Now, I have a hard time denying communion to people, but our belief in the Eucharist as the true presence of Christ is why we do this. It is at times an uncomfortable truth. It would be easier not to have to say at every funeral and every wedding, "If you're not Catholic, you can't receive the Eucharist." It's an uncomfortable truth, but it's a real truth. And this is a truth that must be lived out. It would be easier to bring people into the Catholic faith if we just let them come and start coming to Mass and accept them as full members at that moment. But the truth is, coming to the church and sitting with everybody doesn't make us fully Catholic. It doesn't mean that we've accepted the fullness of the Catholic faith. It requires a preparation period, a wrestling with ideas and beliefs. It's a real work, a real decision. This is a difficult truth at times. Maybe one which has kept you from inviting people to come to church with you, because you know they might feel uncomfortable. They might feel on the outside. But the liturgy, the Mass, the Eucharist, the priesthood, these are all grounded in truths that come from Christ. And thus we can't pick and choose when or how we live out these realities. As we have seen today, Jesus was rejected by his own people. He was put to death for teaching and proclaiming that he was the Son of God. Out of fear, most of his disciples and apostles abandoned him. Undoubtedly, each one of us in our own way has similarly done so at times. There are times when it feels difficult to accept the fullness of Jesus, when it feels inconvenient, when it is truly challenging, or we might have doubts about what the church teaches. And in these moments, we may abandon him. We may betray him. Amen, amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me. Or like Peter, we might deny him. I do not know the man. But if we repent, if we ask for faith, if we seek to understand, Jesus will always welcome us back. He will always accept us. This week, I encourage you to examine your life. Consider whether you have denied Christ. Have you betrayed him? Maybe have you not accepted the fullness of who Christ is? Have you been picking and choosing what teachings or what realities you live by? Now is the time to repent of these and ask Jesus to help you. Ask for the gift of faith. Ask for the gift of courage. Seek a deeper understanding. Admit your struggles and ask Jesus to help you by his free gift of grace to overcome any obstacles that stand between you and the fullness of who Christ is.